everyone. My name is Courtney Wolf. I am today's guest on this podcast, and I wanted to let you all know that I have a show coming up on June 16th for KW's Emerging Artists, and I am going to be running it, and Maxwell's will be presenting it in Waterloo. So I really hope that you can come on out and I can see some of your faces. Thank you. Oh, hi, Mom. I'm just doing a podcast. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is Todd.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Welcome back to the Todd Donald Show. I'm Todd, and my co-host Katie is not with us today because she is 9 months preggers, and she'll have a new single or a new kid out very soon. Which one first? Who knows? But welcome. I am at the home of Courtney Wolf. Can I say that?
Yeah, you're at the home.
The address is no. How are
you? I'm good. Hello. Yes, thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat with you as well.
I failed to do a proper introduction. Like, I just said your name and that we're recording here, but you're a singer-songwriter.
Yes, my name is Courtney Wolf. Hello. I am a singer-songwriter from Kitchener, Ontario. I've been singing my whole life. And when I was around 12 years old, I started songwriting. And that's sort of how I realized that I wanted to try and pursue this and see what I can do. And the goal is to make it happen for a living. So we'll see what happens. And thanks for having me.
Sorry, I'll cut this out. I was trying to adjust your volume.
Okay.
And I turned myself all the way up. That was my bad. I can mix it afterwards. Okay. I can just mix you that.
Right, yeah.
And back. I didn't necessarily want to insert myself into the conversation about you and your music, but, you know, it's interesting how we met. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago. I was back from the Arctic, but, you know, pandemic was still going strong. Lockdown was still in effect. And to break up the monotony of all of the work that I do at home, the thing that I could do was I can get into my car and go to a drive-thru. And I made a point of going to the Fairway Starbucks, and that's where we met. The difference between the way you'd network before versus like you're getting a coffee and then all of a sudden you're just talking about, oh, you do music. That's sort of what I want to start off with. And then we'll go back in time to your beginnings and then we'll go to the future. So yeah, we were just talking about it again. I just find it so interesting how people have to, like, the online artist is almost like first and foremost.
Yeah. Yeah, I basically got into music in 2019 and I had a solid like 5 months to really promote that single, and it did well for my first single. And then the lockdown started and I was basically only releasing music for so long during COVID, and I didn't really know much about networking. So I started working with another Courtney who is at Baseline Music, and she works in PR. So she kind of helped me out with the networking thing and being online. But I was grateful to be working at Starbucks, which is where we met. I was grateful to be working there at that time because so many people were out of a job and just staying inside all the time. So I was grateful that I had the opportunity to still socialize with people, because I don't know if I would have lost a lot of my social skills if I didn't have the chance to work there. You know, so that was kind of cool. And then a year ago when things finally started to open up and everything, that was when I was like, okay, I have to get out there and do shows. And it was kind of awkward at first, but I don't know. Things take time. And like, I'm happy that I'm finally in that place where I feel comfortable actually chatting and sharing who I am as a person and an artist. Yeah.
Right.
It's weird. Yeah. Online stuff is not the most ideal for a musician.
But I mean, it's not a brand new thing that it's been the main way. It's just gradually transitioned from, like, that's a different discussion. Shout outs to all the people from, I don't remember the number, Starbucks, the one on Fairway Road, Kitchener.
I know. I don't even think I know.
So when you said getting into music, what do you mean, like, you just got into music in 2019?
Because I released songs on SoundCloud throughout my high school years, and it was just me recording on my phone on my piano and then just uploading them to SoundCloud. I'd upload covers. I think I got one cover that had like 15,000 views, which was like the most that I had gotten. And then I just had so many people messaging me on Instagram saying like, you need to get in a studio. And people would send me their producers, and I don't know, it kind of just worked out right away. I found this one producer, Sydney Johnson, who my one friend sent me. I kind of had low expectations because I didn't know what to expect. And then I remember he sent me the first take back of Missing Out, which is my first single that I've ever released. And I cried when I listened to it. It was like everything that I ever could have wanted. And I couldn't believe that that was my song almost. And yeah, I wrote Missing Out in my old workplace at Whistle Bear. And like, I would like hide in the washroom and be like continuing writing this song on my phone. And then I remember that so vividly. I was just like, these are pretty good lyrics. And then Missing Out was born. And ever since then, I've kind of been working with the same guy. So yeah.
Well, no, I mean, if you wrote it in 2019, like, I wonder if like you knew how people would be feeling a year later. It's like you wrote a song in 2018 called These Masks.
There you go. I mean, yeah, it is called Missing Out. And yeah, then my second single was made in 2020, and that one is called Bad. So maybe I was just foreshadowing the future.
Hold on, let me try one more. You had a song called
Oh No.
Viral.
Oh.
No. Oh no. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All my songs you can make little sentences with.
The final song on the album is like, I predict a pandemic in 2020. That would be the ultimate, like,
oh, there you go.
There's a dead giveaway that
right.
You knew.
Okay. Right.
Okay. So you had a passion for making music quite earlier in life. Like, how far back does it go?
When I was probably 3 years old, I took singing lessons, and I think I had around 2 lessons with that singing teacher. And then I told my mom, I do not like this singing teacher. I can't do it. So my sister still worked with her, and I just kind of sung on my own. I was always kind of just doing my own thing. I always sang, and, you know, I was told that I had a good voice, but it was never like my passion until grade 7, when I received a Taylor Swift album. And I didn't really think I liked Taylor Swift. And then one day, my grade 7 crush, I was sad over him. So I was like, you know what? Let's see what Taylor Swift is all about. And then I just cried right here in my basement. And I would just lie down in my basement, listen to the album on repeat. It was the CD, so she had all the lyrics written inside. Yeah. You know, they come with that little cover sheet, and then all the lyrics were written down there. And then on the other side, she explained what that song meant to her. And I was just reading it all, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she is so talented. So then I just had to start writing songs. And I would, yeah, it's funny, I'm terrible at math. I would write them in all my songs in math class, which right. Checks out why I'm probably not the best at math. And yeah, I just kind of went from there. I would show the girl that I was sitting beside, and she would be like, wow, like, that's a good song. And then I feel like they just progressed and progressed and progressed. And yeah, I think I was like 16 when I wrote the first song that I was proud enough to release on SoundCloud. And then I was 18 when I would have been proud enough to actually fully release a song, which is what I did with Missing Out.
It's only going to get better. But you're way more fantastic now than I was at 30, like as an artist,
wow.
As a singer.
Well, thank you.
I think so.
I mean, did I know that you were an artist?
I think it might have come up. So I remember my deep love and prowess for creating music was born over a heartache. But instead of Taylor Swift, it was Aerosmith ballads.
Ah,
like
okay.
Crying and Crazy.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know what the connection is, but like the release, when you put your own words on it, I fully understand. Like, that's just guttural. You're not even thinking about an audience or this is what I want to do. You're just thinking about, like, this is a channel for the things that I can't handle hormonally right now.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. For me, it used to be like, oh, what would people think about this? And I was trying to write good lyrics until it got to the point where I was actually, you know, a grade 7 heartbreak is not a real heartbreak, in my opinion. And compared
well,
to...
neither is a grade 9.
Right. Yeah. There you go. But yeah. Then I think that once you stop caring about what other people like or don't like, that's when some of your best songs happen. And yeah, I'm lucky too, because my dad helped me grow up with kind of the classic rock stuff and Aerosmith and Rush and all of those people. So I feel like I've been displayed towards a lot of, like, all the genres.
You're fluent.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, let's play one of your live performances. Like, you recorded, I'm only going to say it for this one, but you recorded some wonderful, brilliant live performances of your original songs. Now the listener gets to hear them. So what this first one's called, Oh No, That's All I Know About It.
Yeah, so this is my third single that I released. So one of the beginning ones I released in 2020. Thank you to Shane, by the way. He is the guitar player for all of these songs that you're about to hear. Oh No is basically, I wrote it about being afraid to get vulnerable within a connection and wanting to run away rather than actually dive in. And it was kind of a self-realization song because I realized that I was constantly running away, even though I claimed to want love. But it was one of those songs where I kind of realized maybe I am too afraid to actually search for love. Maybe I am too afraid to go for it. Maybe I really am just running away, and that's not a good thing. So if any of you can relate to that, you might be able to relate to this song. So this is Oh No.
Both times since I've been going out now, town side, I don't know how to allow my mind to get a little shady. Look at me, thinking that I'm doing it safely. I try to be a little cautious, 'cause I've been hurting in the process. Last time I told myself a promise, didn't realize I was being so thoughtless. Pulling away when it's getting so good, never gonna cave even when I should. We're staying up late saying that we could be something great, but I gotta turn, 'cause oh no, I can't go down this road. I will never get close. I will never try. Oh no, I don't want you to let go, and I cannot let it show. So I'll run for my life. Yeah, I'll run for
too good to be true. Feeling like fate makes me feel so sure, that makes me afraid like I gotta turn. I'm making mistakes, maybe I should learn. This could be great, but I'm on alert, 'cause oh no, I can't go down this road. I will never get close. I will never try. Gonna
start leaving, so I make sure to go first. Sabotaging my own need for analyzing, always thinking of the worst when it's the best I've ever had. And I can't hide that fact. I might want it to last, but I'm tempted to run fast. Oh no, I can't go down this road. I will never get close.
This is something that I definitely know nothing about in terms of today's thing. Do you feel any kind of sway that your songs, like if you said everything I'm going to put out is going to be under the name Courtney Wolf, but I'm within my rights to put out a jazz song and have this be sort of like a merengue Latin vibe. If you have a love for these musics and you, I mean, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't rock any genre.
Well, thank you.
If you put... Do you feel like, no, them's ain't the rules. This is 2023. They all have to be in the exact same vibe.
No, I don't feel that way at all. I think it's good to explore different genres. Like, I have a single coming out June 23rd, and that's my first, like, punk single. And I think they'll always have, like, kind of probably an underlying pop feel.
Yeah.
So, like, I would call this next song a pop punk song, but like, for example, like this past year I was going through a lot and I just was like a really angry person, so I got really into metal, and then that's when I wrote this pop punk song, and it's kind of more of a feisty, angry song. So yeah, I was even calling other Courtney, the PR girl, and she was telling me like that I think it's good to explore different genres as an artist. I think if it's authentic to you, people can tell, and that's kind of the main thing that matters, in my opinion.
It's not like the other way where people have to do a variety show, but people. I just think people should put out anything that they're behind.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it in some artists because it's kind of going that way a little bit again. David Bowie, for example. It sounded like a shuffle.
I think, in my opinion, that shows more talent, in my opinion. Not more or less, maybe, but it shows other people, too, that you're able to do different genres. And those are some of the artists that I've looked up to the most, who can kind of do it all, those are also some of the artists that I find make the best features on songs, because they can fit with pretty much anyone who asks them to write a verse for their song. You know? Yeah,
and yet it's all cohesive too.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you say that this is Ziggy Stardust or whatever, it's all Ziggy Stardust. You hear a rocker, and then you hear like this Latin ballad. I'm just going to the same places, but it's all still Ziggy Stardust. It's still in character. Anyway, I love that you're down for the variety. Like
that's actually like a concern of mine. Like I worry that two songs sound the same, and like I might have similarities here and there. One of my biggest things is like, oh, this can't be too similar to that song.
Well, in terms of what you write about, you've put out 10 fabulous songs with an 11th coming out. In terms of like the singles that I have access to on Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So far. That's enough for an album.
I did make an EP. An album is on its way. It's expensive though.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one day.
The way I used to look at it back in the day was like, all right, I'm in a very... Like my website has to reflect this too. So you just like in terms of like your website, I'm just feeling very like black, but with like red and white letters.
Right.
Right now I'm feeling very pink with neon blue and pink and maybe like an accent of neon yellow vibes.
Totally. I can relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you could also accompany that with the place you are in life and the things that you want to be a reflection of.
Well, I feel like every artist has their character. I mean, Halsey is like probably my favorite artist that I connect with. And even in her most recent music video, she was like, she always has new characters of like, and puts them in different time throughout history. And I feel like we're all just like, you know, the same. We're all the same in a way,
right.
In a weird way. And we can all connect to music, which is really cool. Like, music has been around for forever. What I try to do with my songs, which I think you can do with almost any song, is just having the listeners be able to relate it to anything, like rather than just yourself or a relationship or anything. Like, I've been kind of tooling around with that too, like, and kind of listening back to some of my songs and realizing, oh, this could be about this, this, or this.
Right.
So, yeah.
What's your thing? What do you feel compelled to write about? And like, why are the things that you write about personally gratifying?
It started out by writing about my love life.
I feel like that's everyone.
As it all does, you know? And it kind of became a therapeutic way for me to, like in any of my songs, I don't like putting people down. I like to kind of think about a person while making it a song in a way where I can grow as a person and kind of realizing, oh my goodness, why did I put up with that rather than why did you do that? It always ends up being like a way for me to just relax after I write. And this past year, my Opa passed away and he kind of reminds me of me a little bit. He's just like his own little character and he's just a little cutie pie, and he dedicated his whole life to God, and you know, he was never pushy about it or anything. Like, he did it in a really tasteful way where people really did want to listen to him. And when he passed away, there was just something where I was like, oh my goodness, like I do believe in God, and I just like felt his presence. And I looked back at a lot of my songs, and that's sort of when I realized, whoa, like a lot of these could have been about someone's relationship with God or a person or themselves or struggles with mental health or addiction, which like, I feel like we've all struggled with in one way or another. So I don't like to get too specific in my songs. So for me, it's like when I first write them, I'm like, huh, that was a sigh of relief. I'm so glad I finally wrote a song that I'm proud of, and I can kind of put that aside for now. And then it's like, and then once I finally release it, I am able to just get super excited to share with the listeners, and hopefully they can take what resonates, and hopefully I just hope that it can resonate. All of my songs can resonate without it being about one specific thing.
Yeah.
But when I write it, it's a sigh of relief. And then I just want to, let that go, be in the world and do your thing, song. Yeah.
Do you indulge in the recording process, or are you just like, I want to make this song and I want to get it out there? That's, getting it out there is more important than it being some kind of ode to perfectionism or...
No, I went to Seneca actually for songwriting and performance. I never really enjoyed school, but actually learning something that I actually love, like full time in school, I'm like, oh, it's not that I don't like school. It's that I actually just never learned about what I love to learn about. And so that was a great school experience. And we learned a little bit about recording in that program. I can be a little impatient, but I do enjoy the recording process. I think it's fun, and hi, that's my cat. And my producer Sydney Johnson, he has always just done a really great job. He's an amazing guitarist, amazing mixer, amazing master. So Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And we just kind of sit there and I just watch him do the guitar and he'll like, sometimes I'll be like, are you going to add that in? And he'll be like, can you just trust the process? And I'm like, okay. Okay. And then it always ends up great. So.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. You gotta love every step of the process. Oh.
The cat has jumped on the table. That's not a first for this podcast.
I hope you're not allergic. I should have asked.
No, I love cats.
So I'll be performing already. This is my most recent single that came out in May. This song I wrote when I was in a connection that I sort of already knew was going to end. It was one of those connections that you know is bad for you, but you kind of like it. You don't want to say goodbye, but you already know that you're going to say goodbye in the end. So I'm sure we've all had a connection like that here or there before. So if you can relate to that, this is already.
I already know that if we end this, I won't ever be the same. Feel your body with me when I'm not around to say. Already miss you when I leave your side and ask if I can stay. Already notice that I'm walking away, feeling the pain, trying to get over it so I'll know what to face. I'm begging to stay. There's hope in my brain. Something about it's different. Something I cannot explain. Growing up, moving on, knowing everything could go so terribly wrong. Diving in, way too strong. I don't care at all, 'cause I already know that if we end this, I won't ever be the same. Feel your body with me when I'm not around to say. Already miss you when I leave your side and ask if I can stay. Already notice that I'm a little bit drunk in my own feelings, dizzy, flushing out of line. Got caught up repeating what I should have set aside. Already call you my own baby, maybe I'm just terrified. Already notice that I'm going insane, feeling the weight, acting like it's usual to feel like you're my fate. I'm begging to stay and loving the game. Something about it's comfortable but new, like a clean slate. Growing up, moving on, knowing everything could go so terribly wrong. Diving in, way too strong. I don't care at all. I already know that if we end this, I won't ever be the same. Feel your body with me when I'm not around to say. Already miss you when I leave your side and ask if I can stay. Already notice that I'm a little bit drunk in my own feelings, dizzy, flushing out of line. Got caught up repeating what I should have said aside. Already call you my own baby, maybe I'm just terrified. Already notice that I'm saying goodbye.
I have indulged in the recording process, like to the effect of like spending 5 years to make a record that I, by the end of it, wasn't happy with anymore.
Okay. That's not fun.
I was working with an amazing producer. He did an incredible job. But like all the stuff that I was saying in my performance, I was just unhappy with.
Okay.
And, you know, he couldn't do anything about stuff that I'd already... all of my input, I'd have to read. I'd have to start a new record from scratch. It's just like the process took too long.
Right.
And what is perfect?
Exactly. Well, nothing is perfect and everything is perfect. So you can kind of look at it both ways. Like,
yeah.
It's also like, trust the journey, and I don't know. It's not fun to look back and regret what you did or didn't say.
So you don't spend a lot of time like being harsh to your oldest songs?
Before I released my very first single, Missing Out, it was the first time where I was like, oh my goodness, like people are actually going to hear my song. And the night, I was so excited about it. And then the night before it was released, I was like almost on the verge of like an anxiety attack. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, what if this sucks? Like, and then I got so much positive feedback and I was like messaging all my friends before it came out. And I'm like, does it suck? Is it terrible? And they're like, no, like it's a great song. And then the next day when I slept on it, I'm like, wake up to all these people messaging me like saying that they love the song. And then I listened to it again and I'm like, it is a good song. And then after that I just sort of was like, no, like each song served for a different time in my life and people are telling me that they can relate to it, whether it's good or bad. I just think as long as people can connect with it and it's out there, then like what else can you do?
Yeah. It when people can connect to it, yeah, you have to like let it go like it's not yours anymore almost.
Yeah. Even I can still like look back and be like, oh yeah, I'm feeling like I was when I wrote this song again.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun too. That's why I think shows are important. I mean, I love playing live and I love playing shows. And thankfully I have a few of those coming up. But I mean, the merch and the shows is actually where most of the money comes from. So
right.
Selling merch and you know, getting shows for yourself is important as a musician. Like, yes, you can make money off of TikTok, but like I have 170 followers or whatever it is. And like, you know, I'm not making any money off of that. I just got a thing from DistroKid and I've probably made like 200 total, but that's basically nothing for like years of work you've put into it. And that's why and like buying like equipment and like, you know, paying for school for music and paying for PR people. It's like, that's why I say it's just, if you really want it, like you are going to put in the money. I had this one guy who kind of described it to me, like, think of it as like you're going to school.
Right.
And, you know, people would spend this much money on school, you're just spending it on music. And a lot of people won't understand that. If you're really passionate about music, it'll show. And it's not cut out for everyone. I feel like it was cut out for me because I've always stayed up all night. I've always had a weird sleep schedule. I've always been just kind of doing my own thing, writing my songs and being outgoing and creative. And yeah, I just sort of feel like I was born to do this. And whether or not I make it big or whether or not I don't make it anywhere, it's kind of like I've still seen progress over the years and I would rather give it my all and then not give it my all. And like, I would rather give it my all and have nothing happen than give something else my all and succeed if I don't really like doing that other thing.
I get that for sure. Even though music is not what I'm doing, the level of what I want to be able to do in the career that I do want,
mm-hmm.
it can go back up again. And I just think like, I didn't have a standpoint on that. Do you want to speak to that?
Well, there's so many different options in music, which I think I realized that too when I was in school, because I had all these teachers who made it in their own ways. Like I had this one teacher who paid off his house by writing one jingle for a commercial that got chosen. And it was a jingle that played on air for like 20 years. And that's how he paid for his house. Then I had this other teacher who was just like a professional songwriter and worked for professional people. The singing coach at that school was working with like Grammy award winning artists. Like I've gotten taught by so many people in the music industry who have made it in their own ways. And I'm just realizing like that sort of made me realize, oh, like even if I don't make it as a singer songwriter, and even if I'm not out there, I can still do music no matter what I do, whether it's a big scale or a small scale. So yeah, there's options.
Anything that feels like a setback just makes like one moment can make you feel like maybe I'm not cut out for this, and then the next moment will make you feel like, oh no, I'm back on the track, top of the peak mountain. Mm-hmm. Fuck that noise, I'm yeah. going there. I'm just saying, like, I'm living proof that it's possible to like scale way down and then scale way up again. I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah.
So that's something that I've learned, that I'm just like, I don't know. Was that English?
Yes. Yes, totally. I mean, with these shows coming up too, that was kind of a moment for me where I'm like, no, I can do this. Like in July, opening for JJ Wild and mm-hmm. the Glorious Sons and Tom Cochran. That's going to be like my first, I'm playing at North by Northeast next Saturday, and mm-hmm. I'm running a KW Emerging Artist Showcase at Maxwell's on the 16th. So I think the shows have made me realize, no, I can do this.
Yeah.
And getting asked to play at those shows too, like, I don't know. It's a slow process, but I really think, like, whatever your goals are, like, I strongly believe that, like, they will happen for you if you put in the work and if you are truly passionate about it too.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Perhaps the best manifestation of the zone I was limping around there was, did you think that like you'd be able to say that without any knowledge of things that you couldn't control 2 to 3 years ago? Like around the time that I first went through the drive-thru and talked about music with you too, like June 2020. There was nothing you could do about anything.
Yeah. I mean, I always wanted to, I always thought that I had it in me to do it. I just
put the possibilities.
I didn't know if I would be able to. I didn't know if I would ever have those opportunities. Like that email asking to play at that Revelry Music Festival was like, I cried when I read that email. I couldn't believe it. It's just very reaffirming that, okay, I'm making the right steps. My music isn't terrible and people are liking what they're hearing. So I have to keep on doing what I'm doing and switch it up if I want to switch it up, which I am doing with that new punk single. Mm-hmm. I think too, I've always been like kind of, I don't know, it was harder for me a couple years ago seeing my friends going to school and for like more steady jobs. And even now, like my financial situation is not great at all, but, and you know, I'm one of the only people in my friend group who's working at like a retail job still, but it's also like music is such that it's all about the process, and some people are willing to endure it and some people are like not. Mm-hmm. So I think it really depends. I mean, I'm happy that things are finally picking up, it seems, but yeah, we'll see where it takes me. This is called Never Tell You Why, and it is actually my unreleased song. This one will probably be out end of July. I'm really proud of it. It's a mix between the indie, pop, punk, and I recorded it with Sydney Johnson. There's a lot of guitar in here, a lot of different meanings you can take away from it. And I basically wrote it when I was struggling with also being vulnerable and sort of realizing that, oh, maybe I'm the type of person that is okay to hide from other people or hide from the truth and hide from myself. I wrote it when I was feeling a little insecure about a lot of different things. And in the end, I sort of realized that we're all worthy. I am worthy. It's up for interpretation, but that's sort of what I wrote it about and where I was in when I wrote that song. So I hope you can connect with it. This will be out near the end of July. I hope you like it. I don't want to get myself checked out. I want to be oblivious. I don't really want to hear you out. I'd rather be delirious. So I'll cry and I'll whine in the middle of the night when you can't know why. And I'll shine and I'll try when you see me at 5 and I look alright. I'm okay to lie and never tell you why, never tell you why. I'm okay to hide and never
figure out that I can be hideous. And maybe when the truth comes out, you see I'm being serious. So I'll cry and I'll whine in the middle of the night when you can't know why. And I'll shine and I'll try when you see me at five and I look alright. I'm okay to lie and never tell you why, never tell you why. I'm okay to hide and never tell you why, never tell you why. I hope you can see me and still love me and need me. Still love me and need me. I know you can see me and still love me and need me.
I don't know why I feel inclined to say these things because it's a podcast and I'm aware of that, but like definitely cherish your friends forever.
Oh, for sure.
Don't use your friend group as a marker for where you should be in life, though.
It's true. I don't do that anymore. Okay. I used to do that a lot. I don't do that anymore. Luckily, I mean, not luckily, my one friend, JC, she's like the designer for so many of my artwork. She's the designer for my merch shirts, for all these little things that I put out there. I met her when I was like 16 years old, and she was always into art. I was always into music. So luckily we've and she's going to school for art right now. And, you know, we can kind of relate on that because just both being artists, yeah.
I love your stuff if you're listening.
Oh, pardon?
If you're listening, JC.
Oh, JC. Yeah, there you go. She's very talented. Yeah. Yeah. I'll message her and be like, yeah, I'm really broke. And she'll be like, that's okay. I'm broke too. Like, we'll make it back. And it's just one of those things where you kind of have to, I don't know. They call it the starving artist for a reason. So there you go.
Well, first of all, you got a 10-year head start on me. Like, it took me till like not too long ago to stop measuring myself against where my friends were in life.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people I know are just doing the thing that people do instead of like doing what. That's a bigger conversation. But
you do only live once. It's important to remember that.
Like, yeah.
Like, don't do stupid things, but you only live once. So, I mean, we're all going to do stupid things, but you know, you have to cherish. It's not that long if you really think about it.
So short.
Yeah.
Or it could be incredibly long in like a bad way.
Right. There you go. It depends on your outlook for sure.
I liked that thing that you were saying before though about like how you don't hate your songs or whatever, but people seem to like them. Well, first of all, I appreciate the humility, but also the like, I just want to say to the listener, that's a good point. People love Courtney's music. You're a person. Get it? You will love it too.
Well, you might not, but thank you, Todd. It's not for him.
I mean, there's no law that says you have to.
That's right. I would appreciate it if you listened, but you might not like it. So.
But wouldn't you feel good supporting a starving artist?
There you go. I think you would. Come out to my shows, people. That would help me too. But also, I have fun things planned. So like the shows are going to be worth your while. Yeah.
Well, that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Where can people find... It's totally live. Where can people find your stuff online? Because like you're all, like, as we discussed, you're doing the thing with mm-hmm. the online.
I am.
What are you driving and where can people find it?
So my website is CourtneyWolfMusic.com. My Instagram is _CourtneyWolf. Yeah, and then in my Instagram, you can find a link tree to all of my tickets that I have coming up for shows and my Spotify link and wherever you listen to music. It should be all there in my link tree.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for doing the podcast, Courtney.
Thank you. Thank you. Todd is one of our favorite regular customers at Starbucks. So we've been chatting about doing this for a while now, and I'm very happy that we could finally do it. So thank you.